Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, the more we're with Him, the more we are in His Word, not out of religious obligation, but in a living relationship with Him, the more we're with Him and we take in His Word and it matters to us and it works in us and agitates the flesh and yet soothes the soul where we need it, and it produces this greater relationship and closer relationship with Him. It builds this trust in Him. And a little less trust in our schemes and efforts on our own that maybe He isn't really in. And the more we're with Him and come to Him and He draws close to us, and we can cast our cares on Him, and the more we really have fellowship and relationship with the Lord, we will worry a little less about our performance. And we will rest in who He has made us to be. In the book of Genesis, and well, before I, I'm going to save that picture for like a next week. Okay, thanks, Adam. So keep it in the file. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the book of beginnings and creation, the creation account of what happened and how things came to be, God says, "Let us make man in our image and make him in our likeness." I want you to look at me, if you would, for a moment. This is where you find who you are. I don't know if you've ever asked a question like, "Who am I?" And I'm not sure how you've gotten to the answer. Or maybe you're still trying to figure out who you are. I want you to know that in the simplest and foundational understanding, this is who you are. You were created. You were created and you were chosen. Because you will find that as they were created, you will see that prior to the fall, their sin, you'll see that there's relationship between God and Adam, God, Adam and Eve. And when they were created, it's who they are. They were created by God, but there was also purpose. He chose them to have dominion. He chose them and gave them purpose, and part of it was to work. Can you say work? Not all of you said it. Don't be afraid of the word. Work. Sin came. They committed sin. And then God made a way of redemption. Now, why would He do that? If He did not love Adam and Eve and all who are to follow, mankind. He created you. Just in that alone, that you are made in His image and in His likeness, that you are created with value. You don't have to try to achieve something. You don't have to try to, you know, perform something to find out who you are. We get caught in what I do defines me. Now, certainly, our works justify our faith. But have you ever asked, who am I? In Genesis 3, chapter 4, Satan shows up. Now, I want you to remember, before he shows up, there's a little bit of history here. Him and a third of the angels fell like lightning from heaven. They were cast out. Do you remember why? Because Lucifer led a revolt because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be God. And he comes and he says something interesting to Eve. Oh, is that what God said? He doesn't want you to eat from this fruit because then you will be like God. He is speaking from what he felt and what he wanted that he could not have, and spoke it into Eve's ear, and Adam is to blame. Spoke it into Eve's ear. See, she forgot. Little identity crisis. That she was already made in the image of God and in the likeness of God. She took the bait. And I want you and I to be careful in this life that we don't take the bait and have some identity crisis. Our self-image is very important to us. It is a deep part of us. And because of that self-image, we can be catapulted into poor choices. We can take counterfeits. We can be deceived. We operate by fear. I want you to remember, I'm telling you who you are this morning. His word. He created you in his likeness and in his image. This world in which we live, we struggle. Who am I? I'm no good. What did people tell me? I failed at this. I succeeded at this. Oh, I got the praise of men. I've got, you know, all kind of mixed in there. And some of us get a little more of one than the other. And we start to listen to what people tell us who we are, or what they want from us, or what they expect from us. And we start to get tainted and polluted with that. And we forget who we are. Because remember, who we think and know we are, from that place, we make our decisions. What we will do, how we conduct ourselves, how we handle relationships, how we work. All of these things in life come from this point of who am I? How do I feel about myself? What do I think about myself? And I think they're important questions, but it's got to bring us back to the reminder that God created you, he gave you purpose, and when the fall came, he loves you enough to redeem you. And we have to remember that that's who we are. You know, the salvation that he redeems us with, remember this, the salvation is by God's grace through faith. It's not by works. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It is by God's grace that you are saved or redeemed. It's not by your works, and it's through faith. There's no work involved. It's believing upon Jesus Christ. Now, because of that belief, it changes the way that we live, and we start to understand who he's made us to be. And from that, we become, and it begins to display that we become like him. we get trapped in kind of searching for something else. Our struggle today is maybe not knowing who we are. We can forget. Does the church, the believers, do they look like they're supposed to look? Are they really who they are supposed to be, who God created them to be? It comes down to not just collectively, but comes down to each one of us. Because we make up this number around the globe. Who are you? Not your title. That might describe you, but who are you? These scriptures call us back to greater understanding. I want to read this to you from Ephesians chapter 2. I quoted part of it. It says this, "For grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." I'm going to mention arrogance a little bit later and what that really looks like. Not works that we can boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in those things. Who are you? Now, we can forsake who we are because sometimes we're more interested in what others think of us and who they think we are and who we want them to think we are. Now, I am not telling you that we shouldn't care what others think of us, but there's a line in the sand. There's a line in His Word. We should care what people think of us so that we can fulfill our purpose in God's kingdom, that His light would shine through us and in us, that we would be able to exemplify the likeness of God which He created us. But the moment that we go across the line, that we try to please someone or be what they expect and what they want or however their value system works so that we can be accepted or approved of, and it takes away from who we are, then that's a problem. We cover a lot of insecurities in our life based on fear. Fear gets us in trouble. You know, fear can, when fear starts to rule us and we do things out of fear, we will make poor decisions, daily decisions. Fear will motivate aspirations and how we function in our relationships, and the list goes on. I want you to know that fear corrupts us. Because out of that fear, we can have an insecurity or a fear of losing something or losing a reputation or losing a possession or losing whatever status means in your mind. And so we try to protect that. And the motivation is fear, and along the way, we forget who we are. See, when we're close to Him, we trust Him. We know Him. We don't turn to our own scheme, plan, and we can say, hey, God wants me to prosper, and God wants me to accomplish, and God wants me to do. I would say that is true, except for the deception when God and who we are is not the foundation and the motive. It gets corrupted, though it sounds the same, it gets corrupted when the motivation is fear or insecurity. I want you to remember who you are. God created you, and God gave you dominion, and He gave you purpose. And sometimes along the way, through hurt or pain or past or our own corruption that we don't discipline ourselves, we get a little lost in who we are and what we do and what we think we accomplish is we think that defines us. I got to tell you something. I appreciate the fact that you want people to like you. You should have that motivation, and if some of you don't have that, I want you to know that you're masking an insecurity, and you're trying to play it off as if you're confident. Something somewhere in you, in your past, has damaged you somewhere, and you carry an insecurity, and you have a fear. And so you've masked it as if you're strong and you're okay and I don't care if people like me or not. It sounds strong, but it's masking something somewhere along the line. As believers, we should want to be liked, but not at the point where we sacrifice who we are for the sake of someone else's approval that moves us out of the state of who we are. Okay? You see this with Jesus. He was pretty likable, but there are those that he was not going to bend to because they would take from him who he was. Right? He's the Lord. Now that's a title, but it comes with responsibility. See, the title that you carry does not define you. Okay? I have many titles, just like you. One title I have is Father. But a father doesn't define me. See, the title Father is what my responsibilities are. That's different. Papa. That's me. If you have that title from your grandchildren, you need to change your title. I'm Papa. Papa does not define me. The title is what my responsibilities are. Who I am is a person that God created. And he's given me purpose, and he has redeemed me because of sin. But that's who I am. My identity is in Christ, the creation that he has made me. That's who I am. What I do does not define me. It may describe things about me. It will give me a reputation. But that is not who I am. My title is pastor. But the title came later. I was a human before that. Well, I'm still a human, but you know what I mean. As you saw earlier during the announcement times, I can't even keep who's here and not and when I announce their baby or not, you know, whatever. I'm human. Don't let fear rule you because it will corrupt you. And it causes us to forget the security that we have in the Lord. And when we start to stray from who we really are and remembering who we are, and we move over to what we do and what people say and expectations, and we start to let all of that define who we are and say, I'm finding myself, this is who I am. I'm telling you, that's not who you are. It's what you do or what you don't do. And when we live over here and we leave who God has created us to be and have relationship with him, that's where we find who we are and remembering who we are. And titles define our responsibility. doesn't define who we are. I'll tell you, fear, it ruins our trust in the Lord. And so we have this vacuum now. And we try to fill it with stuff so that we can be content and we can be fulfilled and what we like and what gives us a dopamine and just a rush and we can feel good and we look for it and what is it? And we start doing stuff ourselves. And I'll tell you what, when we get on that page, greed starts to show up. Greed shows up, arrogance shows up, materialism shows up. It all produces this false identity. You are not what you own. You are not what you own or what you have. And I'm not belittling possessions. We all have them. Some are big and some are small. Some are expensive, some are not. We all have stuff. But that is not what defines us. But it's interesting how we look at people who might have more than us or have, in our minds, a greater title than ours. Or someone who gets more attention than us. Or someone that somehow when they speak, people seem to follow or listen compared to how many are influenced by what we might say. So we get into this weird comparison, competition, weird scoreboard. And along the way, we forget who we are. And we let those things in our life define us, and we think that's who we are. We start doing it on our own. And you can come to church and you can raise hands and you can donate and you can volunteer and all of that. And, you know, those things are good. They're godly. They're biblical. They're scriptural. We can find places for all of that that look like the godly life. And you can be living it and I can be living it. But you know what? Don't let those things define you. Let them be a testimony of you and the goodness of God because you're in His likeness. But that is not who you are. His word, it talks about everyone or talks about people. It doesn't say specifically, okay, God loved lawyers so much that he gave Jesus just for them. Lawyers are people. It does not define who they are as a person. It's a title. It tells you maybe what a person does, what they're responsible for, but it's not who they are. Who are you? What motivates you in this life? Why do you do the things you do? Why do you handle relationships the way you handle them? Do you treat people as equals to you? Or do you go in the restaurant and boss the waiting staff around like they're your servants and that they are lesser than you because they wait tables, but you have a management position where you work? You see, that's arrogance, the feeling of being superior and that others are inferior. That's arrogance. Confidence is this. A confidence is, I know who I am, and I know my purpose, and I know what God helps me do well, and I know the talents He's given me, but that is not who I am. I was created by Him, and He redeemed me. He's given me a purpose. But He has done that for others too. So why is it that I'm greater than them? Exactly. Why is it? See, confidence treats people equal. It's not fooling people or thinking more of ourselves. You know, when I came here and interviewed, Sue and I, interviewed for the position of pastor here at New Life, we did not come here to try to put on our best show. If we could just get them to like us, then we could get this glorious position. You see, it would be a tough thing to stay for a long time if you had to keep up the mask. And why would I, in God's kingdom, want to wear a mask to get a position and having them think that I'm someone who I'm not? How miserable for us, how miserable for you, and how miserable God must look upon that. So we had to come in and know who we are. And through discussion and questions and dialogue, that they would discover who we are. Okay. Now, we all change through time. But if you want to ask those who are on the pulpit committee if I'm the person that I portrayed to be, if I'm the same guy, you can go ask him. I've done some changing, but it wasn't under falsehood. It wasn't under a mask. And there was a couple of things that created a freedom for me. One is knowing who I am, knowing the purpose he gave me, what he has helped me be good at, and where I'm weak, because we all have that. And to treat them like I hopefully treat everybody. There was another freedom in it. I wasn't looking for a job. I was not on the unemployment line. I did not have to leave where I was at. There was a lot of reasons to stay. And there are reasons not to come here. That's not, it has nothing to do with you. It's not a criticism. Don't read into that. I'm just telling you. But when you stay close to him and you trust him, things that don't always make sense in our mind, we have the freedom to do because we trust him. And we're not trying to build our own name. We're trying to promote his name. And there is someone that I have to be very concerned about who I please. And it's him. Not that I don't want to please people, but not at the point of forgetting who I am and what he has called me to do and to be as a person. If some of you are here and wondering about your future and what do I do, and some of you who are younger who are saying, like, what am I going to do in life? What school am I going to go to? Do I go back to school? Do I go over here? Do I do this? Do I become that? And you're searching for all of that. I think that's good. I think it's a good process. It can teach us faith. But don't lose who you are. And the closer you get to God, he will direct your paths. Because the closer you are to him, you will build a trust in him. And those who trust the Lord, He will direct their steps. He will direct their paths. He will make their paths straight. You can find all the scriptures you want about that. Because you will remember who you are. Pastoring a big church didn't stroke my ego. I want to do what he wants. And I got to be honest with you, and it's not, and it's because of him, because I trust him, and you know, I know pretty much who I am. I've got, you know, it's always a test through life, but because I'm pretty, he's helped me. It's his credit to make me pretty solid in that. That I could stand up here next to pastors of all sizes of churches and different dynamics and different giftings. And you know what? It would be humbling to stand with them. It's not an arrogance, but you know what? I'm just not intimidated by that. That's who they want to be, or that's what they want to do, or that's what God called them to do. That's their thing. I'm accountable for my life. I'm not in competition with them. Do you feel like you're in competition with anybody? And I don't mean in sports. I mean in life. Trying to prove who you are, or you're trying to, you're better than somebody else, or try to raise question against somebody else so that you look like the better candidate. Who are you? All that stuff will get revealed in time, and you can fool people for a while. And if we just stay close to the Lord, remember who we are and the purpose he gives us, you will not experience an emptiness. And if you start feeling an emptiness and you're trying to fill it, it's you and I begin, it's the sign that you and I are beginning to forget who we are. Who we are in the Lord, who we are in Christ. When we start to venture out there on our own, we get the mask and we can make it look pretty good costume. And I want you to know, behind it is a fear, there's a deception that it's this. We want people to think that we're enough. His Spirit will make you enough, but if you do stuff in the flesh, His Spirit's not involved, and you are not enough. Even if people go, hey, yeah. You're so great. Oh, you're so great. I want you to remember people. They were yelling Hosanna one day, and later on they were saying crucify him. Yeah. It's nice to be encouraged. It's nice to, you know, feel that dopamine rush and some kind of satisfaction. But don't let it rob or take away from who you are. Stay grounded. That is not who you are. And if you don't get those things, maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum and you're like, I don't get enough attention and I don't get this and I didn't do that and I failed at this. And all of a sudden you let all of that say who you are. That is not who you are. Those are the things you do. The things you said, the things you tried, that's not who you are. And who you are is more important than what you do. But because of who you are and God made you to be, you will do things. And along the way, you're going to trip and stumble and fail and fall, just like the rest of us. But we learn to trust him, not venture out on our own, and we don't let those things define us. What if Peter who ventured out on the water because the Lord called him, and he walked on water, and then he took his eyes off Jesus, and he, you know, he sinks, and Jesus reaches and grabs him, and they get him out of the water and get him in the boat. What if Peter would have let that define who he was? I sunk. I failed Jesus. I'm never going to be any good. I blew it. I lacked faith. I took my eyes off Jesus. I'll never be able to do anything. People are going to hear about this for generations, which he didn't know that. That we would be talking about him to this day. What if we let that, what if he just let that define who he was? The who I am. He didn't. Because now he just got close to the Lord, walked with the Lord, was filled with the Spirit, remembered who he was, not just all the things he did or didn't do, to the point that now he walks outside in public and they line up the demon-possessed and the sick at the right angle where they know Peter's going to be walking, and they received their healing. Because his shadow passed over him. That does not define Peter, who he is. But it's who the Lord created him to be. And out of that, these good things happen. I don't read anywhere where Peter ran around and went, "My shadow, it heals the sick. It raises the dead. It casts out demons. I am so great. That's who I am." I don't read that anywhere. Who are you? Where's your identity? What have you invested in? Some of you in this room, you're old like me. And your whole life, you thought who you were was, your identity was based on what you did or how people treated you when you walked in the room. That's not who you are. I want you to think about these things. Are you arrogant or are you confident? Are you busy worrying about what other people will say who you are? You know I'm going to talk about social network. What a weird scoreboard that is. It's just a weird scoreboard. What they did and what they look like, and oh yeah, what I need to do or what I didn't do, and I'm just no good, and I didn't take my kids to the, you know, the Monroe County Fair, and you know. Yeah, you didn't take them. You are a failure. See, our self-talk is influenced very much based upon if we know who we are. Our self-talk, I'm great, I'm pretty good, I'm better than them. You know your thoughts within you. And others going, I'm no good, I don't care what they think. Oh yeah, I don't know. Or I'm just terrible, I'm a terrible person, I'm a terrible parent, you know. Listen, your titles do not define who you are. Your belongings do not define who you are. God has defined who you are. And some of you will do great and mighty things, noble things. And some of you will do a lot of common good things. Jeremiah talks about it. God chooses. But those are the things that you do. That's not who you are. Remember who you are. And if you're in the journey of figuring it out and figuring out what you're going to do in life, you stay close to Him, you trust Him, He will direct you, He will guide you, He will open doors, He will close doors, He will speak to you, He will carry you through conflict, He will help you conquer because He loves you, because of who you are, not because of what you've done. If His love was based on what we've done, we are all unlovable and we have no hope of redemption. But He loves you because of who He is and who He made you to be, who you are. Stand up with me. You better start treating people everywhere, regardless of their status in this life. You better start treating everybody equal. What, you're afraid you might be associated with them because they dress less or they appear to not have money or possessions or they're not clean or they're whatever it is? Or well, if you would remember who you are, you would be more like Jesus. And you better take a good look at who He spent some of His time around. It's amazing that Jesus, the Christ, God Himself, would come and not act superior to us who are inferior. Who are you? You better scripture talk yourself. Self-talk, scripture, to yourself. And if you have hurts and insecurities or you struggle with arrogance, deal with it. Talk to them. Get it right. Get it straight. Don't let insecurities rule you. Some of you, you have relationships that are okay, but if you get rid of your insecurity, do you know how much better it would be? Not just for you, but the other people you have a relationship with? Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.